thank you. It is indeed a pleasure to be invited to come and speak again, and a special thanks to Marlee for the warm welcome. And we have been on this journey for a number of years, beginning in 1994, following the death of our son, Matthew. May 14th, 2000, Rabbi Yossi, who is president of the Union of American Hebrew Congregations, spoke these words, and I thought I would share them again this morning because they are so appropriate to what we are about to say today. Is the need for sensible gun control a religious issue? You bet it is. The indiscriminate distribution of guns is an offense against God and humanity. Controlling guns is not only a political matter, it is a solemn religious obligation. Our guns-led society has turned weapons into idols, and the worship of idols must be recognized for what it is, blasphemy. And the only appropriate religious response to blasphemy is sustained moral outrage. We are proud Americans, each and every one of us, and we know that we live in the greatest country on earth. But are we proud of the fact that our murder rate is 12 times higher than any advanced country? Are we proud of the fact that too many members of Congress pontificate on morality and then do nothing while the carnage continues in our streets and our homes? Are we proud of the fact that there are too many handguns and too many trigger-happy hands, while politicians remain deaf to the frightened cries of children? We are here today in such great numbers because we are, all of us, partners with God in shaping a better and more hopeful future for all of God's children. And so it goes on today, and I have to say I am hopeful. Progress has been made, and Charlie will share some of that progress with all of us today. But unfortunately, that progress and my optimism comes following the tragedy that we're all aware of, the Amherst School children, Virginia Tech. We know that 32 lives are lost every day in our country, and yet, as we did in Virginia Tech, we pay attention only when they fall on common ground. However, there is heightened awareness, there's exciting technology that's being introduced and voted upon in our state capitol. And we would like to share that with you and to solicit your help in making sure that that happens.
That's a tough introduction to follow. First of all, it's nice to be standing here, and I would never miss an opportunity to be involved with the UUs. Even though I'm still trying to figure out the UUs, and they tell me we are too. That's all right. I think that's the magic in the, that I enjoy being here. I especially liked one of the hymns this morning, the one about come sing along, sing a song with me. I inherited this from my mother. We have over 50 rose plants in our yard, hybrid tea, and I enjoyed the line about share a rose with me, and I am going to definitely share my mind with you today. So, thank you. I think it's important to understand that we have a unique position here in California. I'm an old political science major, so when the census comes out every 10 years and we realign the House of Representatives, I pay attention to things like this. And in 2000, we had 53 House representatives from California. There can only be 435. What that tells me is that one out of every eight Americans is a Californian, and that's only growing. So what we do in this state does have a dramatic effect, not only in California, but throughout our country. And this year we have a unique opportunity for representatives right here from Orange County to to effect our will and a substantial change. So don't ever underestimate your ability. My wife has a sign in our home office that no snowflake ever felt responsible for an avalanche. And each and every one of you with your voices is extremely important to us. And we can change and we can matter. I think it's also important to celebrate our successes. We've been at this a little over a dozen years. My wife and I, unfortunately, were keynote speakers in Denver, Colorado because of the tragedy there. We shared tears with those families. But from that tragedy came the California assault weapon ban, which has been challenged and upheld against all different forms of challenge, including the Second Amendment. From that particular unfortunate situation came the situation where here in California we discovered that 80% of these junk guns that are almost sold for free on corners in Saturday Night Special for manufacture, we have successfully outlawed the sale and manufacture of Saturday Night Specials in California. From tragedies, we have been able to, a 50 caliber sniper rifle, you know, the ones they mount on the tripods and drive around in Jeeps that have a range up to 4 miles. Think what a terrorist cell would do with something like that near one of our airports. They have now been outlawed in California. We have made substantial steps here in California to make our lives safer. One thing that I have never understood, though, is why we give these drive-by shooters a free pass. Unfortunately, my wife and I belong to many organizations, and one of which is, the initials are POMC. And I hope you don't recognize those initials. Good, because the entry is quite substantial. It stands for Parents of Murdered Children. Our son was a victim of an attempted robbery and he was shot to death at the age of 21 by 3 15-year-olds. I attend meetings. We try to support each other. Too often, now our particular perpetrator was apprehended and convicted. He had a double homicide that night. Not only our son, but a Marine Corps veteran who was the father of two was also shot to death by this 15-year-old. There's a lovely lady in our Orange County chapter, a single mother raising a daughter. And you know how this story's going to end. A drive-by, not involved with any gangs, an innocent bystander, shots run out, and bless her heart, she was dead before she hit the ground. Totally random. Our children could have been standing there. The only thing they found at the crime scene were the spent shell casings from that cowardly person who shot those shots from a drive-by car. The only clue were the spent shell casings. And that crime is still unsolved because we have nowhere to go with that particular evidence. And ladies and gentlemen, that must change, and we have the technology, and we have a bill now pending in the California State Legislature to make that change happen. And it's a terribly complicated bill, ladies and gentlemen. The firing pin of a semi-automatic gun is going to be coded. The breech face will also have a code, so that when the shell is discharged from the gun, we will be able, because we already have a database in place here in California, to identify the last lawful owner of that gun and the make and model of that gun. And isn't that amazing? No new taxes, no new budget requirements. The Attorney General's office, the Department of Justice, already has the data bank. When we purchase a gun, that information goes into a data bank. It's already there. It's set up for us. All we have to do is require that new handguns have these particular markings. Obviously, the gun industry isn't going to open up their books to us. However, we estimate the increase in the price of a gun, handgun, to make this technology happen is between 50 cents to a dollar. I've also been told by accountants that I'm very familiar with, by the time they buy the equipment and amortize the cost and expense over a 3 to 5 year period, they will be dollars ahead, the gun industry. They make money off of this also from a tax standpoint. It just amazes me that we are going to coddle these cowardly drive-by shooters by not requiring this technology. We need to crack down. I'm very pleased. One of the handouts, support for AB 1471. The second one there, Police Chief Maggard, President, Orange County Chiefs and Sheriffs Association. By golly, our Orange County Chiefs stepped forward back in May. They were one of the first associations to step forward and promote the passage of this bill. I think we should all be very proud of our Orange County law enforcement, with the exception of our sheriff, but I don't have enough time to go into that particular situation right this minute. Okay. Anyway, Mary Lisa, try not to be too controversial this morning.
That's what we're about.
That's why I love coming to a UU meeting. A little thing like open heart surgery wouldn't keep me away. Okay. The challenge. We have the bill, AB 1471. In the past, we need 41 votes in the Assembly, 21 votes in the Senate, our state. If somebody does not vote or absent, it's the equivalent of a no vote. We need somebody in their seat pressing the button or saying yes. We're through the Assembly. This is where this bill originated. We used to have to fight tooth and nail to get our 41 votes. This one passed with several votes to spare. I was elated. So we are going to go to the Senate now. Our bill is now in the Senate. And when the summer break, if they have one, I'm not sure what they're going to do with the budget up there. But if we have a summer break, we will be back in session up in Sacramento the last week in August, which is probably when this bill will be voted for in the Senate. All right, this is where you come in. You live in a tough district, Senate-wise. California Rifle and Pistol Association is headquartered in Fullerton, CRPA, California Rifle. I call them CRAPA for short. Just the way I am. All right. So, Senator Ackerman basically is simply mouthing the words of the pro-gun industry that want to create and have fear, that want to be able to have these statistics as high as they are, that will sell more guns for them and put us at risk to a greater degree than we already are. My opinion, my belief. All right. However, even calling Senator Ackerman's office would be a benefit, because the Republicans on the Assembly side, we were able to put enough pressure on two of them that they abstained from voting. And while that sounds like it's not significant, when they meet in their caucus, it is, because it gives cover to other people. So, bottom line is, we need to call Senator Ackerman. But more importantly, here in Orange County, we have two key votes that are not committed yet. One is Senator Correa, Lou Correa, Santa Ana, Anaheim. The other is Senator Tom Harmon, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, Huntington Beach, Westminster, along the coast. Now, the reason that's important is because we have overwhelming police support in their district. Senator Harmon represents Newport Beach, Costa Mesa, Huntington Beach, Los Alamitos, Seal Beach, Westminster, parts of Irvine. We have every single police chief from each and every one of those cities publicly endorsing this bill.
You need to get a hold of your friends and colleagues. You need to call his office. You need to encourage people who live in his district to call his office. And it's a very simple message. We can no longer coddle, we can no longer tolerate these cowardly drive-by shootings. You need to support AB 1471. End of sermon. We met personally with Mr. Correa, who unfortunately has not been much of a supporter of any of these issues. In fact, he did not even support or vote for the assault weapon ban when he was a member of the assembly back in 99. However, he is an Orange County state senator. And the Orange County Chiefs and Sheriffs Association, together with a number of individual chiefs in his district, have again publicly endorsed this bill. His office needs to hear from us, and it's a local call. We have out in the fellowship hall, the League of Women Voters has, we brought several of them for you, as a voter guide with all the information in it regarding these particular individuals. They're hopefully going to be home for a month, even if they're stuck up there. It's a local call. Your voice is extremely important. We need 21 votes in the Senate, and I'm not sure we're there yet. And we have two key legislators in Orange County, right here in River City, that need to hear from us, that need to understand that we're paying attention, and that need to understand we want to protect our families from these random, cowardly drive-by shootings. And it may sound old-fashioned. I have nothing against somebody purchasing a gun. But by golly, if I purchase a gun, why shouldn't I be responsible for its whereabouts? Why shouldn't I be responsible for who has it, who's firing it, and in what context they're using it? And all we're asking is the person that purchases the gun, if that gun is involved in a crime scene, if we have those shell casings, then we have a lead to be able to crack down on the shooter, to be able to crack down on straw purchases, and to be able to bring some accountability to an industry that is really running amok.
Charlie, I think you've got them all fired up. This is an exciting time, and there is other things on the horizon, and I hope that you will join our organization so we have your email address and we can contact you and let you know of the exciting things that are ahead. In next month, on the 28th, Reverend Jesse Jackson has called for a national day of protest, and there will be over 25 large city rallies and marches. We'd like you to know about the ones that will be closest to you, so you, if you wish, will attend. In September 28th and 29th, there is a national Sabbath day sponsored by GodIsNotGun.org, which is a division of the Brady Campaign, and they have liturgy and suggested service for that day, and we anticipate that in churches and synagogues and temples all across the United States, that people of religion will be paying attention to gun violence and raising their voice in unity and support for common sense gun laws. So again, it is an exciting time. I really am very appreciative of the invitation. I know when people hear the word gun violence prevention, it is sad. It is tragic. But we are all agents of change, and it gives me such hope for our future. Thank you so very much.